Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Favorite time of the week, Bob Haney. If you're in on attendance issues, we will get back to that coming up at 9:20, okay? Ohio State having problems. Which I can't, you never, anytime I ask for a certain thing to talk about, you never do it. You never set me up for it. You never do it.
I want to know what
you got
the.
You a golden opportunity. You didn't do it. No, can't do it now. We got to go around the AFC North.
Does Bob Haney know whether or not Maryland is having attendance issues?
Well, you can ask him. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as we go around the AFC North. Bob, is Maryland having attendance issues?
University of Maryland Terrapins or the state of Maryland?
Let's go one to the Terrapins and the other one the state of Maryland.
Well, there were 70,000 plus at M&T Bank this past Sunday for KC, so that was fine. And the season opener for the Terps against West Virginia a couple of Saturdays ago, about 45,000, their largest crowd in forever. So far, so good in that regard, guys.
So who are the Ravens, by the way? Because they had that loss that everybody thought was awful against Las Vegas, but then Vegas went over and dominated the Steelers for 60 minutes, and then Baltimore came out with a big win against Kansas City. So what are the fans saying about the Ravens?
Fans are a little more excited, as you would expect, after beating Kansas City for the first time in forever, first time with Lamar as the starting quarterback. More encouraged, no doubt about it, because the offensive line played much better on Sunday night than they did against the Raiders when they were awful. And in particular, Alejandro Villanueva moving from right tackle, where he was brutal against Las Vegas, and played acceptable against the Chiefs on Sunday night. So the O-line, that was encouraging because Ronnie Stanley doesn't look like he's going to be back for probably at least a couple of more weeks. Marquise Brown is starting to play like the number one draft pick that he was 2 years ago. And, you know, he's become Lamar's go-to guy in lieu of Mark Andrews, but you know, with Sammy Watkins and with Rashad Bateman still waiting to come back, it looks like Hollywood's been looking like a player we thought he could be coming back from a foot injury and, you know, not avoiding tackles anymore, actually trying to get yak yards. So people are excited about that. If there is a concern, the defense stinks. And in particular, the secondary, which was supposed to be maybe the strength of the team. DeMarcus Peters' injury has been big. Jimmy Smith hasn't played in the first two games. Ravens are, I think, last right now through 2 weeks in the NFL in pass defense. So that's a little bit concerning. And they can't stop tight ends, Darren Waller and Kelsey, and they have Hockenson this week. So defensive concerns actually are bigger than the offensive concerns. And we thought with all the injuries they've had at running back and at wide receiver, it would be flipped. The D would carry the offense. But quite frankly, it's been the other way around right now.
Bob, after those two early interceptions to Tyrann Mathieu, did Baltimore fans think that it was over for Lamar Jackson?
Well, for me personally, I thought it was toast. See ya. Stick a fork in him. The pick six, and then the throwing in the triple coverage, which was a terrible play. I thought the Ravens were going to get blown out, but they kept answering Kansas City with big plays. And we talk about the secondary. I mean, Kelsey had the one in the third quarter where I think he dodged 12 defenders, not just 11. That's how impressive that was. But Lamar just kind of put the team on his back and carried them. And in my opinion, for the last 2.5 quarters of the game, he was the best player on the field. But to answer your question, when he threw the two picks early, I thought they were going to get drilled.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We thank him for his time. And we go to Cincinnati. And James Rapine of Sports Illustrated. And is there cause for concern with Joe Burrow, James, after he threw back-to-back-to-back interceptions against Chicago?
Yep, he's awful. They're in the quarterback hunt for next year. No. I mean, there is some concern, and I don't think it's necessarily the interceptions. It's all of it. It's, you know, the playmaking ability, his ability coming off of the ACL. And I think overall he's pretty comfortable in the pocket, but there's a little bit of juice, the playmaking ability, whatever you want to say, missing right now in Burrow's game. And that's to be expected when you're coming back from an injury like he had last year. But it would be nice if the Bengals could help him out and stop having so many protection breakdowns. And it's not even just the offensive line. Joe Mixon missed a couple of key blocks that got Burrow hit, and he's just taking way too many hits. 16 hits in 2 weeks, and those are the ones that the NFL is actually counting. So they need to cut those down so he can get more comfortable in the pocket.
James, how worried should Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield be about the Chicago Bears pass rush?
With that offensive line, probably not as worried as the Bengals should have been going into that game. I mean, he was uncomfortable for a lot of it, and the offense was just out of sync. And to be honest, I was surprised by it, because that was a game Zach Taylor, if he is the next Kevin Stefanski or whatever you want to say, where he's going to lead the Bengals to the playoffs, I think you got to go up to Chicago and win. And the fact that he didn't, and the fact that his unit specifically that he calls plays for laid an egg, I think that's a poor reflection on him.
Well, that's some tough talking right there from James Rapine. What did you think of Justin Fields' performance? You know, the Browns are playing Chicago on Sunday. I got to ask what you thought of Justin Fields in case he plays. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's certainly a threat running the ball, and that's what we saw. He didn't throw it inside the numbers really at all, maybe a couple dump-offs inside the numbers, but it was mostly to the sidelines. And so the Browns cornerbacks have to be ready for that. But the play of the game, 3rd and 9, Trey Hendrickson has Justin Fields wrapped up, or almost wrapped up, and Fields breaks the tackle, runs for a first down, and seals the game. And that's the part of it. I think he's going to rely on his legs, and if you can take that away, then this offense is certainly beatable, because outside of Allen Robinson, they don't have any real crazy threats. I guess David Montgomery is a running back, but this Browns defense knows what good running backs look like, so they should be good in that department.
James Rapine with us, Sports Illustrated Cincinnati. You're at Pittsburgh on Sunday, 1 p.m. Is that one that Bengals fans are feeling is winnable now?
I think they feel it's winnable. To me, it's one of those things, if you can't go to Chicago and beat up Andy Dalton and a rookie who wasn't planning on playing, and now you got to go take on a team. And yeah, they're injured and they're banged up, and you could certainly see the path to them winning. But Ben's going to play, spoiler alert. I'd be shocked if he didn't. We don't know about Deontay Johnson or TJ Watt yet, but this team has bullied you for 2 decades for the most part. And so this idea that, oh yeah, we lost to Andy Dalton and the Bears, and I get it, Fields played too, but we're going to go to Pittsburgh and win. That's a bit naive. I think that the Steelers should be favored, and they are favored, and we'll see. It's a winnable game, but I think that a lot of things have to go right, and they need to fix some things on offense if they're going to have a real shot at Pittsburgh.
James Rapine, Sports Illustrated in Cincinnati, as the Bengals get set to take on Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. And to talk about Pittsburgh, we welcome on Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in the Steel City. First one up, is Ben Roethlisberger going to play on Sunday?
Yes, of course he is. James is right to feel that way about this. He's pectoral injury? Are you kidding me? It's soft tissue. He doesn't have a broken arm. Yes, Ben is going to play. Yes, he is an actual tough guy. But also, yes, these sort of things tend to crop up to burnish the tough guy narrative here, that he's battling through it. The only difference between this year and this particular injury and past instances of this guy's is that there's the very real chance he might actually suck, because usually it would be like bad news for an opposing team when he would announce or they'd announce he has some sort of oddball injury that he'd go out and play great. Now that might not happen.
Do you think, Chris, that there's anything worth noting in this offense right now for the Steelers that defenses have to worry about? Or do you think this There's no miracle fix here. That this could be the offense the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, I said that yesterday on our show. We kept coming back to it, guys, that there isn't a magic bullet here that makes this better, right? There's not some guy coming in off of IR that's going to make things better. There's not some sort of player that, I mean, they could have some improvement. The only, I guess, magic bullet or the only fix is they're really green, really young, and possibly not even that talented offensive line with a first-year O-line coach starts playing a lot better. But that's not a miracle cure. That's basically hoping. And they took a bunch of third and fourth round picks and a guy who had never coached O-line at the, you know, as the head O-line coach at the pro level and said, well, this is how we're going to protect our functionally immobile quarterback from now on. I just thought it was kind of an arrogant way to go about it in the offseason. They say they want to run the ball better and they're completely behind the times and say, well, drafting a running back in the first round will fix that. No, it won't. And we've seen that through two games of Najee Harris where he's had nowhere to run. The only splashy plays he's made were when he had some room in the pass game on a short pass and he was able to make a guy miss in space. But they're getting caved in right now on that line, and I don't see any signs that, like, rapid improvement is on the way.
How bad is that Deontay Johnson knee injury?
We've heard it's not that bad. The Watt injury doesn't seem to be that bad. It might be one that keeps him out for a week just so that it doesn't turn into a 6 to 8 week thing. The Hayden thing seems more maintenance than anything. The Johnson injury got a lot of people mad because there was really no reason to run the play. But as we kind of have been hearing about it, it is not something that sounds like it's going to be particularly serious. So they looks like they would have dodged a bullet there in that particular instance.
TJ Watt banged up, but I want to ask you about the contract. What did people there in Pittsburgh think about the contract? We know what his teammates certainly thought about it, and should he have gotten more?
I mean, it's that weird thing where fans say the guy is this great player, and then as soon as he actually gets paid market value, they say, oh, they shouldn't have given him that kind of money. He's only a defensive player. Like, it blows my mind. I think the thing here that people took note of, guys, with that deal was that he really did get the Steelers. Maybe he took less guaranteed money ultimately than other guys got, but in this town, getting the Steelers to come off that we don't guarantee anything beyond year one of deals, and actually he got them to guarantee 3 years worth of it, that's perceived to be a pretty big deal. I think they see it as, you know, team caved a little, player caved a little, everybody's happy. And I mean, until this injury, he was obviously producing at a level that, you know, that kind of warrants that sort of contract. He was a destructive force for them.
Chris, the Big Ben thing, it just seems like if this was the what you were basically putting the entire season on the back of whether or not he was going to be playing at a high level, he did play at a pretty good level for somewhat of last year. Obviously, it fell apart towards the end of the year. But if he continues to play this bad, where does this end? Would they bench him? Would he cite injuries and walk away? What are the alternatives here?
I would suggest that of the two hypotheticals you just laid out there, like those two pathways, I think the second is far more likely than the first. I really do not believe the franchise has the gumption to bench him if things get really bad. I think they have catered to him over and over again for years now, even though he's looked obviously past his prime. He's got a big major injury in his recent past. I think it would be more likely that he takes more hits like he just took against the Raiders. And you find out, you know, there's something, an AC joint, some sort of sprain or something that keeps him out a couple of weeks. And then suddenly a couple of weeks turns into 2 months and that's the end of things. But I truly believe that they don't have the sort of conviction that it would take, the intestinal fortitude to actually bench the guy. I mean, they have just defined themselves by his existence on their roster for basically two decades, and I don't think they could kind of separate from that.
But I also imagine, Chris, that he doesn't want to go out like this. He knows how bad that playoff game was last year. Then the whole offseason, he vowed to, you know, play nice, do whatever the offense is supposed to do. And here we are right back in a similar situation. Now, maybe there's not a lot of options because the offensive line is just so iffy and they can't run the football again. So what are they really supposed to do? I don't know. It seems like he's a very proud guy. Does he want to go out as by far the worst quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, how many guys go, you know, I know it's verboten to say this name in Cleveland because of what he's done, but I mean, Elway went out on top. I guess you say Peyton Manning went out on top because they won the Super Bowl, but he was like a corpse at that point who got dragged there by Von Miller, essentially. Not many guys get the chance to do it. It seems like Brady is going to do it, except he'll be like 54 when he goes out on top with his 17th Super Bowl win. I don't know. He might not have a, you know, you say, does he want to go out like this? He might not have a choice. And the sniping has, the passive aggressive sniping that he and Aaron Rodgers, I would say, are more known for than any two quarterbacks in the league has already started. He's claiming they don't have a no huddle package this year, like making it seem that Matt Canada has taken that away from him. He's the no huddle package. If he's on the field, they can run no huddle. Like, it's, we're already seeing that frustration from him. And it's not all his fault. The line is truly horrible, but this seems to be hurtling towards a very, very bad conclusion for he and the team.
Is Devin Bush going to play?
That one's tougher to kind of forecast. I would guess like 50-50 there. Tomlin loves to say, you know, we'll let his participation be our guide. From what I've heard, that one's sort of in the middle. If Watts is not really severe, Bush's might be a little worse, but nothing catastrophic. I could see them specifically because of the opponent, and I'm not saying I would endorse this because I think the Bengals can absolutely come in there and beat them if Burrow gets hot and they protect him. I could see them, though, resting Devin Bush for at least another week and trying to get him as close to fully healthy as they can. Because when you put Robert Spillane in that lineup, I know it's not an ideal situation for them. When you put him in there, they are catastrophic, and I suspect they would rather have to use him for two games early in the season than maybe have to use him for a longer-term stretch.
I would agree with that. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, part of the great triumvirate, which we call around the AFC North. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. James Rapine, Sports Illustrated in Cincinnati. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, all on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We have people hanging through. Get back to the Browns here in a second, but there's people still in on the Ohio State attendance issues, so we'll get to them as well. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.